Why don't we pray together here just for a moment. Father, we pray that this time would be beneficial to all these dear men who have come here today to share good fellowship and to lift up their voices in prayer and to truly benefit from this time would be a blessing to us all. So we ask that you would be with me as I speak here and may this the things that I preach about come with power to the hearts of these men this afternoon, in my own heart as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, I want to speak to you for a few minutes from 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'll read the first 18 verses of chapter 4. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead as at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers and will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. Antichicus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, the Apostle Paul here in this chapter is giving his final instructions to his son in the faith, Timothy, and he will speak to him about the things which will be most important for Timothy to remember after he, Paul, is gone. The things that he would have Timothy to remember, I'm quite sure he would have us to remember as well. They are, first, the importance of continuing to preach the word, verses 1 to 4. Second, the importance of persevering in righteousness, verses 5 to 8. Third, the importance of faithful men, verses 9 to 13. And fourth, the importance of the Lord delivering you from every evil work, verses 14 to 18. And this is a devotional. I will not have, of course, time to do exposition on all these verses, but to simply draw a few points which I hope will be pertinent to the ministry which the Lord has given to each of us. I'll attempt to do this from the vantage point of verse 17, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. So first of all, remember the importance of continuing to preach the word. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. And when Paul charges Timothy, he's laying upon him the responsibility to pay strict attention to what he's going to tell him to do. He's commanding, personally commanding Timothy to do this, to preach the word. And Paul charges him before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. These matters that he's speaking of are that important. Timothy was to think about the judgment day that was coming when Christ would appear and ask for an account of what he had done in regard to preaching this word. And Paul told him that he was to preach this word in season and out of season. That is, when it was popular and when it was unpopular. When it was apparent that great fruit would be born from preaching, great benefit and blessing, and other times when it seemed unlikely that any good results could come from it at all. He was to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all patience and instruction. Let me ask you, men, are you still preaching the word? I'm not asking you whether you are regularly giving an exposition of the scripture and a few good points of application every Sunday. I'm asking you whether your heart is still in preaching, in sounding forth the word and in declaring what's true with joy and enthusiasm. Can you say with Jeremiah, "Your words were found, and I did eat them, and they became unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart"? Do you still joy and rejoice in your heart over the blessed truth of the Word of God? Is the Word of God still your meat and drink and your bread and butter? Is it the treasure hid in the field which you still search for? Is it more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold to you? Is it sweeter than honey and the honeycomb? Do you personally consider its warnings as good for you, and know that in keeping God's commandments that there is great reward? Do you still hold fast to the word and prepare to proclaim the word, knowing that there will be a reward for you if you are faithful in preaching and delivering it? You say to me, "Well, I'm getting to be an older man." I'm leaving you out of this, Dabney, but I'm getting to be an older man now, and I've been preaching a good long time, and I'm very tired and weary because I have not seen the results that I would like to have seen come from my labors. I reprove people in my congregation. I gently tell them where they are wrong and point out to them what they need to do to walk in the truth and do things God's way. I rebuke them when I see them in some sin. And when I can perceive that they do not know how to live in a righteous way, I tell them about it. I exhort them. I tell them what they need to do in obedience to God's word. I'm patient in persevering in the ministry which the Lord has given to me. Ah, that's good, my brother. But let me give you encouragement from the word itself today, if I can. What truth is it that will help you when you are weary in the well-doing of preaching? It's this truth that the Lord stood by Paul and strengthened him so that the message might be preached. And I hope that you'll remember that the Lord Jesus is standing right by you day by day to strengthen you. And the strength that he gives is primarily spiritual in nature, although certainly he is able to renew your strength physically as well. Christ is standing by you to actually supply you with the strength that you will need to continue to minister the Word of God in a fresh and powerful way, Sunday by Sunday. The Lord will also stand right by you to strengthen you when or if the time comes that many in your congregation will not endure sound doctrine. Perish the thought that this might be the case with any of us, but Paul was saying that it would come in Timothy's day at Ephesus. Why could it not happen again? And we pray that it will not. But if it does, Christ will be there to see to it that you can preach. But he expects you to put him before you in your conscious expectation of his working on your behalf. Listen to Psalm 16, verses 7 to 9. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night season. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices, and my flesh also will rest in hope. So you see, these words take in every kind of tiredness and every kind of weariness that we might experience or have. The Lord gave David counsel through his word coming to him in the night seasons. And that word, he says here, instructed him very practically to set the Lord before him and to realize that the Lord was there at his right hand. He would not be moved by all the difficulties that he encountered with men. Indeed, his heart was glad, and his glory even rejoiced, and his flesh even rested in hope. And I want you to remember, men, that the Lord is standing with you to give you the strength that you need to continue in the ministry. And second, remember the importance of persevering in righteousness, verses 5 to 8. Paul not only urged Timothy on to consider Christ's present help in preaching, but he urged him on to consider the reward for faithfulness, which is laid up for all who have loved Christ's appearing. Verse 8, finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also all who have loved his appearing. So Paul had this firm assurance of this crown of righteousness being laid up for him, and Paul would persuade us who are sitting here listening today to have this firm assurance of receiving the crown as well. Do you think often of what is laid up for you, dear brothers, when Christ appears, this crown of righteousness? Let it be an incentive to your labors. Think of it this way. The crown of righteousness is what Christ himself will give to you when he appears, because you love him and in your life you saw him as your righteousness. And all that time, even though there have been many mistakes made and some sins committed, you have been persevering in doing what is right based upon this imputed righteousness and this imparted grace which he has been giving to you. And so there will be a reward for your labors, which is based upon his grace and your improvement of it in the good and righteous things that you do. It's called here the crown of righteousness. The reason that you're able at all to persevere in righteousness now is because he first loved you. And by his righteousness, he overcame and sat down at the right hand of his Father on high. And now from his high position of having been given all authority in heaven and earth, he would have you overcome and persevere in righteousness because of all he has done for you. But you, O man of God, flee from greed and the love of money and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness, fight the good fight of faith, and lay hold on eternal life. You see, Christ himself, I'm saying, will strengthen you to labor for him, to overcome sinful temptations, and to grow up into a greater exercise of practical righteousness in living your life unto him. And this will go on until you die and go to be with him. At that time, he will then confirm you forever in righteousness as regards your spirit, and you will await the day of the resurrection. That day when he will appear to judge the living and the dead, when you will actually receive the crown of righteousness which he will give to you and to all who have loved his appearing. Your reward for your labors in doing what is right will come to you from Christ himself. Ask yourself, am I laboring towards this end to receive the crown? Do I love and look forward to Christ's appearing because it will be the completion of my redemption and the crowning of my life with the joy of seeing Christ being made like him and receiving this crown from his hand? Then thirdly, I want you to remember the importance of surrounding yourself with faithful men. Verses 9 to 13. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world and is departed for Thessalonica. Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Now I'm quite sure that you men know the value of faithful men in the church, and you have studied to try to surround yourselves with such men. But I want you to take notice of the fact that Paul must have suffered some amount of disappointment with men who he thought would have stood by him and labored with him for the forward progress of Christ's kingdom. Some who he thought would be faithful turned out to be unfaithful. Demas forsook Paul because he loved this present world, it says. And sometimes, even beyond those who disappoint us, there are those during the course of our ministry who we do find faithful, and so we send them out to do service for Christ, and sometimes we may think that we are quite alone in laboring at various aspects of the ministry. Sometimes those men who we thought would become our greatest helpers and laborers together with us in the ministry leave for some other place. Well, what should we do? Well, I think that we ought to take stock of every single person that the Lord has given to our church and realize that God is perfectly in control of our particular situation. He is able to bring others to help. And so we might think, well, why doesn't he? Well, he has his reasons. And we ought to do all that we can with the people that we have been given. Crescens had gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. The Lord would use them there. Only Luke was with Paul, and oh, how he must have valued that man's help to him. Paul appeals to Timothy that he would get Mark and bring him with him when he came, and this would strengthen him in his work of preaching the gospel. This was the same John Mark who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. The same man who Paul refused to take with him when he was leaving to go on his second missionary journey. But if you will remember, Barnabas took him with him and he taught him. And so John Mark changed and he grew in Christ. And now Paul would have him come to help him. Remember, brethren, that our brothers and sisters in Christ will grow up over time if they are sensitive to the Spirit's leading them into greater godliness. But what I would have you to remember in respect to your particular ministry is to surround yourself with faithful men in your work so that you do not get bogged down with trying to do everything in the church by yourself. And sometimes that happens. Learn to delegate responsibility for the multitude of little things that need to be done. And look for men to put in charge of things which can be done, things which you should not necessarily spend your time doing. And Paul would send Tychicus to Ephesus, and he would have Timothy to bring him his cloak that he left at Troas with Carpus, and he would have Timothy bring him his books and his parchments. Is it not encouraging to think that Christ himself thinks of all the details of your ministry and over time will provide men to help you with various tasks? The Lord, I'm saying, is standing with you. And then fourth, I want you to remember the importance of the Lord delivering you from every evil work. Verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You must also beware of him, because he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Now we see here a specific man who did Paul much harm personally, who greatly resisted their words. It says, probably it was the words of the gospel and the words of truth, which brought Alexander to conviction of sin and made him angry. But I want you to see that when Alexander was doing this harm, and Nero, or whoever was ruling in Rome in Nero's place at that time, arrested Paul, all the Christians there forsook him for fear of being jailed or put to death themselves. And I want you to see that Paul did not become bitter. He did not complain against the Lord. He said, may it not be charged against them. Instead, he was able to make his defense and succeeded in preaching the gospel so that all the Gentiles who were there at that time might hear. And this is what he rejoiced in: to be able to preach the gospel and the word of God. And the reason? Because the Lord stood with him and strengthened him. This is what the Lord did for Paul, and this is what he will do for us as pastors as well. The Lord will deliver us from every evil work and preserve us for his heavenly kingdom. So instead of complaining, instead of becoming downcast or bitter, Paul could actually give glory to God in these circumstances. Eventually, we know that he would be martyred for the faith there in Rome. But even in that awful act of being put to death, God was delivering him from every evil work to place him before his presence with great joy. And so today, let us rejoice in the fact that the Lord stands with us in our ministry of preaching, and he will be with us throughout our ministry to establish every good thing that we will preach, and he will be with us to the end and be waiting on the other side to greet us when we enter heaven. Let's pray together here. Father, we pray that you would seal these truths to our hearts and make us strong in the ministry of your word to continue to preach, even if we have preached for many years, that you would anoint us, come and anoint us with power and wisdom to know how to deliver your word in such a way that people will, by your Spirit's power, pay attention to it, and that they will understand and know that you are God, able to do all things well, able to teach us and correct us where we're wrong, able to keep us on the path of righteousness and to help us live our lives for you. Help our people and our congregations to see that through us. May we not become discouraged at all in the ministry, but may we remember that you stand with us to strengthen us. For we pray it in your dear name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I'm sorry, brethren, if I went too long with that. Little, I felt like I couldn't hold it back.
It was very good, though.
Amen.